With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Beautiful late spring day here in New York. I'm sure you hear the sound of sirens. I'm in Manhattan. A lot of hay fever, which is how this chat begins, with the mighty Fred Cook, great Irish comic, co-parent of the newborn Ted with Julie J, previous guest of the podcast. Fred and I go way back with Fred. In fact, he has some memories of just after 9/11. I didn't even realize we knew each other that long. It's crazy. Fred, very unique style of comedy. Although we talk, this episode is really about being a new dad, and also going, you know, he's getting married in December, but he's marrying another comic similar to me. So we get into that, a lot of relationship advice and a little bit of comedy nostalgia. Every now and then we get distracted by some memory from our comedy lives together. For our American listeners, I try to make sense of references that I know perhaps won't make sense to you in the episode, but if I forgot a couple of times, I do apologize. I still think it's going to be super funny and entertaining for you. Fred is such a naturally funny guy. In more recent times, he's been well known for being the sort of MC of the Tommy Tiernan show. He got some notoriety from doing the Spar ads and does some funny songs. Oh, of course, he was on Dancing with the Stars, and he had my partner Julia, so that's our other connection. But we don't talk about that actually. So, needless to say, you don't need me to say anything more. Thanks so much for everybody that leaves reviews. We always love them. Spread the word, and I'll talk to you at the end of the ep. Fred, let's begin on that. in New York, I can't speak for Ireland, but in New York, this has been the worst hay fever season I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. Are you getting it? Are you getting that feeling on your nose?
Got my feeling in my nose, but I also, do you ever get the pollen on the back of your throat?
Yeah.
Which is a big deal now, because now if you start cacking, people are like looking at you like, oh my God, he's got the Rona. I thought he got two doses of the Pfizer. I thought he had two doses of the Pfizer, and now he's got the fucking Corona.
Yeah.
It happened to me on stage last night, which I'm not trying to.
Okay.
I'm not boasting. Yeah. I'm not boasting that we're back to normal here, Fred. But I was on stage last night, and towards the end of my set, I started to get that tickle in the back of my throat, and I was just like holding it off, like desperate. And luckily, I got off stage, and then this woman came up to me in the hallway right afterwards to talk to me, and I could hardly speak, like it was so bad.
Yeah.
So I just got away with it.
You're coughing in front of everyone. Absolutely, yeah, that COVID panic. But look, you know, I think I'm pretty okay with that as well. I've had a few chesty coughs now the last year. But generally it was fine, but this has gone straight to the nose and sneezing. So I think I'm jealous, but happy for you when I see pictures of you gigging in New York.
I know. What are you more jealous of? Is it the pictures on the beach or the pictures at comedy shows?
The whole lot. No, honest to God.
Let me ask you this. Do you sneeze into your elbow or do you still sneeze into your hand?
I've got this right here.
That's bog roll for our listeners. That's toilet paper for the Americans.
And this is all we have for the week, Julie. This is all we have for the week.
So, but have you changed? Are you an elbow sneezer now, or do you still sneeze in your hands?
Oh, I still sneeze into my hands.
You're a fucking relic. You're a throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can't get rid of good habits.
I would never suffer the indignity of being seen sneezing into my hands in the COVID era. That's just a behavior that's had to change, you know? Like many things that men have had to adapt to in this world, sneezing into our elbow is humanity's evolution.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Well, I never had the time the time to get my t-shirt and go like that, you know what I mean?
So anyway, Fred.
Finding an area where there's no one. You know, I remember like in secondary school as well, like we're just so packed with lads like myself. When you do have to sneeze, you know, it is down into the hands and elbow. There's nowhere to escape. If it's left and right, there's a guy to your left or right. So it's either sneeze up or to your hands, like I think.
Because Ireland hasn't been open that often throughout the pandemic, but
yeah.
I noticed a comedian was talking about this. I can't remember who it was. I think it may have been Nate Bargatze. I had joked about it already to like my friends. Had you during the pandemic, had you had the situation where you're in like a public place and you swallow something and it hits the wrong pipe, and suddenly like that used to just be like, yeah, wrong pipers. Now it's like, it's not COVID, everybody. It's a wrong pipe. It's not COVID.
I've had moments. I've been driving and like my partner Julie was in the passenger seat, but I would cough and like straight away, like jokingly, she'd go, I knew it. You have it. And believe me, I'd be delighted to lock myself up for 2 weeks on my own. You know what I mean? If I had to, like, I'd be the first up. Oh, I have it. Don't come near me.
Give me just 2 weeks off.
And then I create a little gap between the floor and the door to get a slide of food into me there. I'm fine. I'll be fine in 2 weeks. Bring it in. Bring in the food. Thank you.
Just FaceTime all your mates. Oh, get caught up with everybody, you know?
Do some videos.
One of the laughs I'm getting on stage since I went back, one of my COVID laughs is, so I joke a little about having cancer a bit. I brought back some of my cancer material because I ended up getting vaccinated early because I had cancer. They opened it up to all the cancer survivors. So one of my jokes is, you know, it's very hard to describe to people how it feels to feel a lump and think like, oh my God, like that could be something very serious. I'm not going to do anything about that. I'm going to pretend that I didn't feel that. But now I can explain it to you because how many people here had like a tickly cough or a hot head or, chills and thought, I'm not going to tell anybody about that because, you know, I'll just wait and see if anybody got COVID around me. Nobody gets COVID over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to assume that I don't have COVID, but I'm not going for a test because I'm too fucking busy this week to isolate for 2 weeks. And the thing is that I did that as an improv one night, but then everybody laughed. So I was like, okay, so we've all ignored a symptom or two over the last year, depending on the time of year. I mean, if you're really busy and you think I'd love a 2 week off, then you just fucking go for a test and hope you have it, you know?
I know. It's darkly but funny, and it never happened. I had a bite. I found a bite on the right side of my penis. And I was quite worried about it. And I was doing Dance with the Stars at the time. So I said, I'll give it a week. Because I was so busy with the promotion and stuff. I didn't have time. I was kind of worried about it. But I still go to the doctor, and I had that Monday off. And But the Monday I checked, it was gone. But like, I'm just thinking, thank God I checked.
Thank God. But it was just an insect bite?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was just, I think, you know, to be slightly more graphic about it, I just think, yeah, I probably went to bed that night with no pants on and got a bed bite.
You got non-consensual.
Exactly. Yeah.
About 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the ticks are really bad in the States, like, especially where I spend in my summers. So one time I'm going for a piss or whatever, and I notice that it looks like two, like, almost like blood blisters. Like, you know when you get, like, a blood blister on your finger? Two very small. I was like, oh, here we go. This is it. Finally, I got the STD, you know? I was Googling, fucking blood blister on my penis.
Never Google. Oh, my God.
I was like, fuck, man, what is this? And then that night, like, so literally that was 12 o'clock. Then that night, before I had to go to bed, I look. and they're fucking bigger. But I also kind of noticed, like, oh, they're a bit separate. So suddenly I realize it's two fucking ticks.
Yeah.
Two ticks burrowed into my fucking penis.
Yeah, yeah.
And I pulled them off. They came out fully. They were both still alive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no way. No way. Wow.
Fucking dude, I was freaking out. I hope this isn't too graphic for our listeners. But then, of course, I Googled that, and it's very common. Yeah. It's very common. Ticks like the groin area.
Oh, completely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anywhere that doesn't get air.
Yeah, you know what I mean? warm and moist, like an Edinburgh venue. Well, I'm surprised these Edinburgh venues are fucking full of ticks.
I know, yeah.
No air. So anyway, Fred, I'll tell you why I was thinking of having you on. Well, I mean, I was having you on anyway because I need a fucking guest and you could crack. But, I mean, we can talk about many things, but I was thinking that you're living. Are you guys married or not?
No, we're getting married on the 11th of December.
Oh, congratulations.
Dingle. Yeah, we've
done it our ways. You've done it our ways, of course.
Was that Eric Lawler's joke that he had a child, he got married, and he's going to have his first date next week? So
Fred is married to Julie J, who's been a guest on this podcast, was a frequent guest on the shift. Oh, sorry.
And congratulations to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But, you know, she's a comic. So now we have that in common. We're both engaged to comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the main two things I wanted to talk to you about, and you can choose the order. You're a new dad.
Yeah.
Right? And also you're living with a comic. So these are two things that I'm very interested in having. You know, how old is your child now?
He's around 8 months and a week, I'd say. Yeah, so.
Wow. So you've had that strange blessing of having nothing but time to spend with your newborn.
Completely.
That's kind of a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. We were so, but it was a funny thing as well. I felt that because at one stage it was just Ted, Julie and I, there's three of us in the house, and he must have looked at us as parents going, these people don't have jobs. we're like the cast of Friends. Like, we're always in the house, but not doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, we're just, if we never work, we're just going from one room to the other. Could I be any more sarcastic right now? You know? And But that was that. So it was. So I genuinely feel like it's been such an emotional year for me. Anyway, do you know what I mean? Like COVID or no COVID, but even with it, like there was. I was saying as well that with Julie as well that I still worry. Like he's very alert, which is great. He's a wonderful sleeper. My neighbors, I don't even talk about that too much because you know they'll get jealous.
Yeah, it is like they fucking sleep like an hour a night, and you're coming in all rested talking about my wonderful sleeper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, but at the same time, I do feel like I've never had to get up since I met you in UCD like years ago. That's the only time I really had to get up for lectures and stuff. And then when I went full time into stand up, since that period until now, I've had my son. I think for those, it's probably around 16 years, I think I slept for those 15 years. I hibernated for 16 years and I've just woke up. No, like since 2000 and, you know, since I've gone full time into comedy. Like I used to get up at 2 and be proud of myself. Hey, I'm doing good. Yeah. This is a start today.
I have a daddy's body clock. So how has that been for you? Because I wake up like as if I have a child, even though
exactly.
I don't have
a child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it is. I can't have a lion. My body won't allow it. You know, it's when I was doing it at the Tommy Tiernan show, like you might have it. We weren't on set till 4:30. So I'd say, oh, great, I got a lion. I can't wait. I haven't had this in months. And I'd wake up at 7:30 because my body wouldn't allow me to go back to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Because you have that naturally. You have that.
Yeah,
naturally.
Always. It's been a curse.
Yeah.
But how has that been? So like, you know what? Because obviously you haven't been back on stage yet, right? So
no.
When you get back on stage, I feel like a lot of this having a child stuff is going to pour out of you. Like what has been your thoughts, funny or not funny, about the whole experience? Like, was that tough, the waking up stuff?
Initially it was, but once I got used to it, it was fine. I enjoyed it. In fact, he's so on cue. It's like 7:30. You can hear him smiling and you can see him smiling. We start the day. It's great. And, but, oh yeah, it's no, like, it'll be interesting now going back on stage. I definitely won't be. I love gigging and I love touring, but I don't know if I'll be doing it as much as I used to pre-COVID.
Oh, right. Okay.
Time-wise. Because time-wise, I don't know if I can do it, you know. But, I think doing an Irish tour, it'll probably be like 2 months. That's it. Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 2 months. And that's it. You know what I mean? Like, so, and a few work in progresses and, so, but you know,
So Ted was born in COVID, right?
He was, yeah. He was born on September the 12th, and he just got over September the 11th.
He didn't want to be born on an infamous day.
Exactly. I always pictured him having a birthday party for September the 11th. I mean, it's a little of a minute silence for our neighbor here. It always ruins the buzz. Because I remember that in UCD, you know, around that time, you were gigging in the Astor Hall, and it was maybe a week after. And
oh, really?
I was very sensitive to you. Hi, Desi. I'm sorry for laughing. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I know. But yeah,
I
mean, my memory of that time was just like that. Irish people were just not as like, you know, like I remember being on the Dart at that time and hearing some people being like, well, you know, America deserves it, really. I mean, you know, they do this to other countries. And I was just like, shut the fuck up. No, so, but were you able to be in the room and everything?
Oh yeah,
there was no COVID restrictions for the birth?
No. I actually think if I'm right, there's just the councillor TD Joan Burton, Irish. Yeah. Actually, not Joan Burton, Joan Collins. Maybe she's
out in Blanchardstown, right?
Well, absolutely, yeah. She put forward a thing to the Senate to allow their partners into the hospital, and for that week, partners are allowed in. Do you know what I mean? And I just got so lucky with it that because months before that, I was hanging out in car parks for 2 hours
waiting for her to come out of her.
Exactly. Yeah. And I hate that. I hate waiting for information. You know what I mean? Like I know
because it's tough enough. I feel like the early part of a infancy, the dad is very much a support player, right? The mother is the most important person. It doesn't help then if you're literally out in the fucking car park like you're the driver.
yeah.
You're completely sidelined out there. Exactly. So you were in there. So you were in there for the big.
Yeah. And it was, so I was the first one he seen. And it was 3 a.m. 3 a.m. in the morning. So like, it's incredible energy of the midwives. You know what I mean? Like to be so on it that time in the morning. And I didn't know what to do. Like I was like... Do you know, at one stage, they're like, why don't you make the... Like, they're trying to get me involved, knowing that I couldn't do anything. They're like, Brad, you're doing... They actually said to me, you're doing great. Why don't you get the water for Julie? You can get the water. And I was like, yeah, I do that. Hey, look, we're having a kid. I didn't know what to be at. So I was doing the counting for the contractions. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And it's like, oh, it's not helping. And thankfully...
Was there any painkilling involved or what was?
Julie had an epidural.
Epidural, right.
Yeah. But I often wonder, because you see more of his character every day. And I think like part of my DNA is in that child and part of Julie's DNA is in that child. But we're only working out now which bits are which, you know what I mean? I see part of Julie's character in him and part of mine a lot. He sleeps. He loves to sleep. So that's coming from me. Right. And I do know that I often wonder that because Julie in the Leaving Cert, she got like 400 points more than me.
I was about to say 400 points is not that good, but 400.
So we're hoping, you know, he's on the intelligent side of Julie. And you know, Julie didn't even do that well in the Leaving Cert.
You must have did all right. You got into UCD.
Exactly. Yeah. I did fine.
So just because I haven't talked to many comics or anybody really about the details of being in the room. So like, what else do you have to do? Like what happens when the big moment happens? What's going on?
You're just there. You just have to be there. There's nothing. And when he's born, now this is the gas thing as well. Because when he was born, he had this. Julie had this gestational diabetes, which is quite common, you know, it can happen right. when, and so he was sent straight up to the I forget what you call it, like the incubator upstairs. And right. we had him for half an hour. I got a few pictures. Then he was sent straight up to the incubators upstairs. And then,
which gave you time to post them on social media. Yeah. You know,
get it up. How many likes have you, Julie? 26. Great. I'm 37. Fantastic. And,
the competition starts. It starts. You're like, who does the baby like more and who got more likes?
Hey, I should do more of these baby shots. My followers are...
Oh, that's a fact, bro. I mean, come on. What's the point of having a baby if you can't take advantage on social media?
Hmm. Then we went up to the prenatal ward. That's what it is. And, and I forgot, because there's a slight, for any baby who comes from gestational diabetes, there's a kind of a slight insulin dependency in him. Like, you know, like, so I went up and I was like, how is he? And I was just so happy he was born and everything was fine. And the nurse was like, oh yeah, he's still a bit dependent. He's still quite a bit dependent. And I was like, what? My son's an addict? He's only 2 hours. He's only 2 hours born. And now he's like, you're telling me he's still dependent on something? Like, it's like, oh, come on. Like,
but he's dying sick. Yeah, it's like fucking Trainspotting. Train spotting.
He's like sick falling, boy on the mattress.
Yeah, he's falling through the carpet.
So there was sort of thankfully now, like he's in good health, and Julie, just something else I was going to say there. I completely left me.
Did you have did you have any of those moments of like holding him and just being like, holy shit, he's mine, or it felt natural, or what was the feelings that were going through your head?
Everyone, it was so overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't when I seen the head, like when the midwife says, oh yeah, we can start to see the head, it took quite a while, you know what I mean, like for him to come out, like so that's another thing I was saying, like he was so overdue, like that I was saying, I hope he never does stand up, because he's already developed a reputation for not turning up on time. Do you know what I mean?
Like he's blowing the light. Aiden's gonna be like, yo bro, you were supposed to be off 20 minutes ago, bro.
Exactly. He's just coming up the stairs. When am I on? Oh, whoa. And he was thank God. But see, the thing is, because of COVID and all that, you know, there's these pregnancy courses you can go to as couples. You know, Dara Breen has got very funny material on it. And but just going stuff. But we couldn't have that. Like Julie went through a few things on her own, but I know no one, which is fine. We didn't really have the support, and that's not given out. It's just a reality, because we couldn't go to these courses. So everything I learned was on YouTube. It's and you know, like, you know, the algorithms, the way YouTube is, like, so I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to become a dad now. How do I hold a child? Oh, here's a Radiohead video. Just watch this first of all. And, ended up watching Counter Girls crap and stuff like that. Oh shit, I'm going to be a dad. Quick, go back to the YouTube thing. And
That's funny because, you know, obviously, you know, before pregnancy classes, we were able to do it. But for the last number of decades, people kind of go in like quite informed about what's going to go down and completely. What they're supposed to do. But you didn't really have that. Did you feel like you knew what to do once it came out? And
No, I just thought, I felt, you know, we had that half an hour with him before he was sent up to the postnatal ward. And I just didn't know what to do, but I was just so happy. And not only was I so happy to have Ted, but I was just so happy that that like Julie was okay as well, because it was quite an intense birth. You know what I mean? It was so like it was, you know, it was quite intense, and but it was wonderful as well. Like, so it's just so nice to be the other side of it.
Yeah. It's so funny because I'm such a sexist. After Ted was born, I had Julie on to talk about fucking school uniform controversy. I didn't ask her a single fucking thing about her labor. And here I am talking to the guy who was just standing there observing it, being like, what was it like? How did it feel?
Man chat. Yeah. I didn't, to be honest with you, Daz, I didn't find it that sore. It was okay. I got through it.
No, but it's just interesting. You know, I was kind of just pushing you a bit just because, you know, you'd be sort of interested. It's such a momentous moment in life, and then everybody has their own experience about it. I mean, I didn't even care if you were going to be funny about it. I was just curious to know what it's like. I've never been in that situation.
I couldn't. Julie went into Tralee Hospital maybe 4 days before she had Ted. And obviously I wasn't allowed in with her. So I was rocking around my gaff for 3 days. And I said, I should really clean this place. And I didn't really, to tell you the truth. So, but when, you know, you have a new baby coming home and the house is just as messy as it was.
That is stressful, though. You know, you've been through the whole journey together and then at the end you get separated. That's tough.
Completely, yeah. Oh, sure. When he was born, 2 days after he was born, I was like, it was like, I don't know if she'll laugh at this, but it's like she was in a female prison because I was from the window outside waving in at her. Do you know?
I know, but it's fucked up. Well, how long was she in there for?
And there was men, I'd say 4 days. And there was men beside me. It was quite a nice, dry, sunny day in September. But there was men beside me with their kids with mats on the grass, you know, and that's how they contacted with their wife who just had a kid through the window beside me, you know, all in this wall in Tralee, like, so because we couldn't go in. To visit them, like
the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. So it's all these men, yeah. Like doing Romeo and Juliet to the fucking
exactly,
wives.
Exactly, yeah. Spending time with their wives through the at the other side of the wall. Like it was like,
did,
yeah.
Did you get
like,
a picture of that?
We did. It would be like Berlin pre 87 or something.
Yeah. Because that's like that's gonna be like a moment in time, like that crazy COVID year.
Yeah. There is that.
And Ted will probably tell people like, yeah, I was born during COVID. My dad had to see me through a glass.
Yeah, the COVID pictures. But like, there's so many pictures. Like, if you look back in your childhood, how many pictures have you used her as a baby? Because
there's some, but nothing like now.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's
like I got a couple of pictures when I'm like 3 months, and then there's another one from when I'm 12 months. There's a missing 9 months.
Yeah. Do you know, I seen a picture you put up there a few months ago of her sitting room, and it was great because I seen the Superman VHS in the background. And I think it was Superman 2. It was Superman 2. When he's like this, do you know, like that, the side of it. So I was class.
I was joking about Superman 2 recently. I can't remember why, but I was making a joke about it when Superman loses his powers and some fucking random guy can beat him up in a diner. I mean, it was kind of fucked up, really, Superman 2, because it's like, so it's like when you're a normal guy, you're not great. Some dude can just beat you up in a diner.
I think that was three. That's when he got angry.
Bro, don't even fucking talk to me.
No, it was two.
It was two. It was Zod. It was the three Zod guys.
And the three guys.
Superman 3 was the one with Richard
Pryor.
You're right.
Sorry. Yeah. And but I think that was one of the first movies. This is what a friend of mine says, that even though people give out about Superman 2, but it's the first really movie that dealt with psychological drama internally, that Superman had to sort himself out. And that moment when he had to fight against himself to win. That's the thing, that's the narrative. And that moment when he developed the courage and strength to beat himself, that's when he opens up his thing and you can see the Superman in between the white vest. And it's a sign of success. So love it.
The moment that he catches Zod's hand, Terrence Stamp.
You're like,
that's right, motherfucker.
It was then great. The three of them sent off in the pyramid.
They're off in space. The mirror.
Love it.
The mirror for life. Which is a metaphor for the age of social media. It was interesting. He had to accept that who he was a superhuman being.
Yeah, exactly. We all
so now, that. now you're into your routine. You know, you're eight months into it. Have you guys? Has it been smooth sailing?
Oh, it's been generally fine. Oh, we've had some wild arguments. Like, we kill each other, but like overall, I think the feeling is to never leave the day on a fight. Do you know what I mean? Like, just try to find the strength. I do anyway to say sorry. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's we'll be bickering quite a lot, Julie and I, and stuff. But
you're together all the time. It's not like you guys haven't had to deal with any of the Listen, I've got to go away for 2 days. You know, you haven't had to do much logistics yet.
Yeah.
But I wonder, is that good or bad? Because you're with each other all the time.
Well, it's a great testament to our relationship, I think, in ways. Not blown our trumpet on it, but I do think that it can. Julie came up with this thing that let's give ourselves 3 hours every day each to do whatever we want. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. which really works. Do you know what I mean? And this is part of my 3 hours.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Fred. I'm stuck.
When this is over, I'm back changing nappies. So come on, entertain me, Des. Entertain me.
I didn't know that I was taking 45 minutes of your precious 3 hours, Fred. I got to make it worth your while. Well, I feel like in a way, this is, you know, so I'll tell you what, I've said this on the pod before, but I'll say it to you. What I didn't realize from continuing doing the pods and Patreons is when I actually got back on stage, my mind was a lot sharper than I expected. I had a lot of ideas in my head. They kind of flowed out. So I do think that even though it doesn't feel like it, this stuff does keep you in the game. Now, in saying that, you've been working on the Tommy Tiernan show, so you actually have had a bit of work. So you're one of the rare comics that's been working.
Oh, Des, I felt a bit of guilt. And I also felt like the luckiest guy in showbiz, considering the time.
The guilt comes with the nationality and the religion.
It does, yeah. But because I was living in Kerry and we would film the Tommy Show once a week, I got a letter of permission from RTE to leave Kerry.
Yeah, I just need to let me quickly explain to American listeners. Ireland had a 5K travel limit, so you weren't allowed to go 5K further than your house, and the guards, the police, were stopping you on the street, right?
Yeah.
So Fred got.
I got this letter of permission to travel. Now, as you know as well, like most people who get this letter of permission are like essential workers. You know, ambulances are, doctors, 24-hour call. You know what I mean? Like a serious pandemic, and then you had this big smiling country ahead. Me, like, you know, like going up to the guards and showing them my letter. And they're like, the guards are like, and I'm like, what do you do? What do you do? And I'm like, I pull the curtain. I introduce the axe. That's what I do. But
you know,
the like,
warm-up too, right?
By me. Sorry?
You do the warm-up too, or there was no crowds?
Well, there's no audience.
There's no audience
this time around. So it was so lucky because it wasn't like RTÉ were doing too much either. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was really the only show. And then it was just two of us in it, you know, bar the guests. So, you know, I didn't take it for granted.
No, I got asked to fucking do it and I couldn't come back for it.
Yeah.
I would have had to come back, quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's a pity. I'd love to hear that.
I wanted to do it, man.
Yeah. Because I've heard you interview Tommy in Galway.
On the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. And you were talking about, you said the way, and I've done this myself, the way you were quite influenced by Tommy in the early days, that you kind of almost tried to use his phrasing technique.
I heard his cadence.
His cadence, exactly. Yeah, his cadence.
I listen back to my early routines, I can hear it a bit. I can hear the influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're so fucking out of your mind. Who the fuck influenced you?
Me? Oh, Tommy.
Yeah.
You, Des. Like, I kind of, like, when I remember seeing you, I often feel with you, like, you were always a great comedian, but my God, after 9/11, you really became this something else, you know what I mean? Like, because you were funny, but you had a social energy behind it. Right. And I seen you, it's the week that Dana, the politician.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Remember that?
Don't tell everybody about that routine.
I won't. But I was like, oh, this is fantastic. You know what I mean? And to see it, I was like, that's it. You know, that's what I want to do. And Ross Noble as well. I love Ross Noble.
I can see Ross Noble being a real influence for you.
Oh, I love him.
The madness of it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just exactly that. You just, the way you can use confusion in his conversation to go into something else. You know, I didn't mean it like that. That'd be a bit weird. That'd be like, you know.
No, I know what you're saying.
Counter. No, I'm saying like that's the way Ross would work. You know what I mean? That he'd be kind of like, he'd say something and then go, he'd make a mistake in a sentence and go, obviously the mistake would mean something else, and he'd act that out. And he's always using, at times he'll use fun confusion to get into something else. And Bill Bailey, there's loads of, like, I love Joe Rooney. I love watching Joe. And
That'll be a Google dive for any of our American listeners. Yeah. Actually, most of the people you've mentioned is a Google dive.
Exactly. Well,
listen, before we get into that, so have there been any other stuff that's been difficult to navigate between you and Julie? Because you're in that first year of a first child.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a very momentous
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I know. It's been kind of It's been nice. You know, it's been really good. And it's considering, and we've been very lucky as well, because we're on the peninsula here in Kerry.
Yeah.
So lockdown happened. We moved here, and we didn't. Well, we moved here 2 months beforehand, not planning to stay here so long. We ended up here, obviously, with lockdown. Yeah. And so, you know, we were lucky like that. And but overall, yeah, you know, there's no. We still do this thing. You know what comedians do, and it's a healthy thing to do. It's a. Do you know when you've got something? You might be doing something on TV or radio, and you don't tell another comedian, just in case it doesn't happen. You're trying to keep it a secret. Yes. Until, which is very important to do, because if you don't, if you tell someone, you'll become the person who didn't get it.
Yes.
So like, so, but I think Julie, you know, we still do that with each other, even though we're engaged. You know, professionally. we do, like she'd be emailing, and I'm like, who are you talking to? No one in particular. You know what I mean? And it could be something like she did a thing with Jackie Hamilton for BBC Radio. And I think I found out about it the day before it came out. I was like, what, you know? So it's just...
She doesn't want to tell you just in case it doesn't happen.
Oh, completely. Yeah. So just that as well.
You need to work on that.
Yeah.
She's and not it's... like a normal... Because I wanted to talk to you about that, because now I'm engaged to a comic too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's very interesting because... Right now, it's all very positive for us because, you know, we actually, even though we're engaged, we haven't been together that long. So it's all very positive. I try to impart a bit of wisdom / writing techniques onto her. But I also get kind of like inspired by her like fresh enthusiasm for the job and wanting to get better. And like, that's good for me. But I feel like over time, it might become a problem where, like, you might disagree on something creatively or something, and that could create a tension that other couples don't have. Have you guys had any of that?
Well, I think on my side, the greatest distraction to all that is having an 8-month-old. It just kind of, you know. You know, I'm like, sorry, I guess, you know, like, we're trying to, but...
Are you guys going to fight over, like, a funny moment that happens with the kid? And you'd be like, yo, that's mine. I was like, no, that's
yeah,
mine.
Yeah. I don't
Who, how are you guys going to decide who gets what funny story about your child?
Well, it's, you know, it's, we've had moments when, like before Ted was born, we were watching, we're living in Meath and, close to my hometown. And, we were watching the cathedral in Paris that burnt down.
Yeah. Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame. And, we still don't know. We're both convinced we came up with the joke ourselves. You know, this, and it's a very simple joke, and about, you know, when you just do a gig, like, I said, I was so nervous doing this gig. So I was in Paris last week, and I must have lit 1,000 candles in Notre Dame, before the gig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Very soon after it. And I thought that was my joke. I was very proud of it. And then she said it's hers. So, and we're still, it's still unresolved. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, thank God. Like, you can't do that joke. Nobody gives a fuck anymore anyway. So
exactly.
You don't need to resolve that one. You could put that in the unresolved category.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I had a thing where, you know, so Hannah is like about to start, you know, doing some headline show. You know, she's going to be doing like longer sets. And, you know, she's very well known, but, you know, she's still pretty new in comedy, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, listen, I have like a lot of routines that I don't do anymore that I think would suit you, you know? But I think she got offended that I was like trying to sort of fob off some of my fucking trash from 10 years ago. But I was like, why not? Like, I'd rather that routine like get a new life. Like you just put your angle on it.
Like,
what would you feel about that? You think you guys would swap out routines?
Maybe, yeah. I'm afraid when Julie suggests something to me or puts something forward, because I don't think I'm the best person to put stuff in front of. Do you know?
You mean like stuff that she's looking for help on, or stuff that she
can support for you? What you think of this? Yeah, yeah. And I'll never, and if I don't like it, I won't say it. It's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, because I guess as comedians, we're all quite sensitive. So yeah. I haven't got there. So there's no point. There's no point in saying that's, you know, it's no good, like, you know. So it's just, so I just go, yeah, cool, man.
Well, I tell you, right. I'm a lot better at suggesting than being suggested to.
Which is a
character flaw.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm not.
Like, I had to catch myself recently. It was, you know, so like Hannah sleeps in. I fucking wake up at the crack of dawn. Yeah. So I go and I get a coffee and I bring my writing pad, and that's been my routine my entire career. And like the hit rate is small, you know, like there's many trips to the cafe, many words written that go nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this particular morning I came back and she was awake. So I was in the room, and then I was just like, I was just telling her about some of the ideas that I was messing around with. And she came up with a good suggestion of something that could go in there.
Yeah.
And even if it didn't go in there, it was just a good suggestion of something to explore as a funny thing.
Yeah.
And I had
yeah.
to catch myself, because my immediate reaction was, I think I actually started to say like, yeah. ah, that doesn't really fit in there. And then I had to stop myself and go, wait a minute, this is fucking good.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But the problem is that that's a fucking character defect, this kind of thing of like, don't fucking, I'll help
we're
you.
Very,
don't
I
fucking, don't help yeah, me.
No. We're very, I think, someone says in band, I'm not saying it's ego, but someone says even with songwriting and group songwriting, the worst thing you can have is to think that your idea is better than everyone else's and someone else's idea is going to ruin the value of its production. Do you know what I mean? Like that you
right,
need to,
which is perfect because it's a, that's such good advice because the reality is like,
exactly.
what's more important, your pride or the song being the best that it can be?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But comedian, or the routine being the best that it can be.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also that thing as well of if someone gives you something on the spot, like, I know Carl Spain's given me loads of stuff, you know, and like just randomly, you see me. I remember one night I was gigging in the Laughter Lounge, a Thursday night, I was doing 15 minutes, and he suggested two things to me, and I used them on Friday night, and they both got a round of applause. A round of applause.
Did he want to take them back?
I just let him bully me for the last, after that. So you're allowed to bully me from here on, Carl. No worries. Fire ahead. And, but you know, there's comedians, I guess, who are so good with their time, you know, I think Kevin Galdibi one of them as well. I think you're one of them as well. And then there's others as well that might suggest something to you, and then if you do use it, they'll be like, "That's my joke."
That's oh yeah, they want to let everybody know.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you get more sensitive over that. You're like, "What's the point? What's the point in using it? Do you know what I mean? If it's going to be associated with someone else, like so."
It's a funny thing, that pride, isn't it? You know, this sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I like. That moment, I haven't actually developed that bit that Hannah said yet, but like, it's actually about doodles. It's about these, you know, dogs that are bred with poodles to turn them into like hyperallergenic dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a resentment against doodles because I've been rescuing fucking unwanted pit bulls, and these motherfuckers are going to like puppy farms in Pennsylvania to get these doodles. Now, I have friends that have doodles, and they're great dogs, and I'm not against people that have doodles, but I do think that it's a potential for good comedy to go after this kind of like fucking designer dog, this fucking genetically modified dog that's supposedly, you know, better than the rest of them. But I haven't developed that routine, but it was a moment where I went like, oh, you have to realize that there's a certain convenience to living with a co-writer.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
But it touches into that deeper thing in a relationship of like, why is it like the resistance that I nearly had there to her suggestion. It's similar to like in arguments where you just like, if they're right, like, why is it so bad to be wrong?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Why does being wrong hurt so much? I've brought this up before. Like it is a recurring theme in my life. I've literally seen it on like pages of old notes, like trying to write material about like, why is being wrong so painful? But then you have to ask yourself, is being wrong as painful for everybody else as it is for me? Or am I a fucking psychopath?
Do you think for me, because I know you went to boarding school with loads of lads.
Yes.
And I think when I'm on the defense, a lot of it comes from there.
You think so?
It comes from having to defend yourself. Shut your mouth. What are you talking about? I never said that. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of, I think, you know, I do think all boys boarding schools are at times were toxic. And when it's left inside you.
I mean, I guess you could tie some of it to like a toxic masculinity, but I think it's deeper than that though, because I think a lot of people have it. And the funny thing about being wrong is, you know, if you're wrong, you admit that you're wrong, you resolve the situation, you don't think about it.
Mm.
It's very long, very soon afterwards, it is gone. But the resistance to fucking letting it go before the resolution is immense.
Have you got John Hume's speech there in front of you from the Good Friday Agreement? are you just reading that out word for word? And then you realize you can move on.
Oh, God. Again, our American listeners, you got to Google John Hume. He's a Nobel Prize winner, by the way. Nobel Peace Prize winner. That's the high level of fucking humor that we have here on the Des Bishop Podcast.
Can I say something?
I know, but it's
well?
True. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
The micro of a relationship goes out into the bigger thing. But what were you going to say?
I'm looking at my screen here and I got sunburned yesterday, so I don't have a cholesterol drinking problem. I'm just quite red in the face.
Or at least that's not why your face is red.
Exactly.
Well, I don't use the video much, honestly.
Oh, cool. Now, no worries, put it up. But just note to self. Yeah, note to everyone else. I should have put a sign up there going, I'm not hungover. So,
what about when you guys moved in together first? Did you? Because Hannah is the first. Yeah, I'm 45 years old now.
Yeah.
Hannah's the first person that I've lived with full time. I owned a place with an ex before, but we didn't actually live in it together. But this is the first time I've lived with somebody.
Yeah. It's a big tester, isn't it? And it's how do you find it?
Well, we're both very messy.
Yeah.
So I think overall I consider that a net positive, except that I always thought I would end up with a neat person because they would motivate me to stay neat.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but I would assume that there would be tension on the fact that my natural inclination is not that neat. So I would assume that my lack of neatness would probably annoy her. The thing about Hannah is that her messiness or her ability to live amongst the mess is actually equal, if not greater, than mine.
Yeah.
And I just find it really entertaining because when I watch somebody else do it, I think, how can you have not put that thing away for 3 days? Like, it's been three days and you're just living amongst this fucking thing that's out of place.
Yeah. I've never been neat. You know, I've always been slightly chaotic in every way. So definitely when it comes to housework. And now I'm much better with Julia. I've had to up my game. Do you know what I mean? I've just had.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Bottles and all that, you know what I mean? It just has to. I had to change. And
so I lost you for 2 seconds. Overall, what were you saying about doing bottles and stuff?
Run. Yeah. I know. I just like I'm generally not a neat person. I'm quite untidy and chaotic in every way, mentally and work wise, socially. You know, it's all there. But becoming a dad, I've just had to up my game in the tidiness.
Yes,
and routine.
Oh, right.
I've had to like so it's. So overall, like, but Julie as well can be really messy. But I never bring it up. I just let it pass. What's the point? Do you know what I mean? Like at this stage, you know, it's just kind of.
No, it's very. You know, what's really tough.
It's not. What's the point?
Do you know what's tough? To not kind of keep score on who tidies up.
Yeah.
I find myself doing that because I'm not a neat guy. Cleaning up is like a big deal for me. And sometimes I'm like cleaning up her shit and I'm like,
I better
see this reciprocated.
Yeah. I find myself about to say something and it's good now that I know I can see the, I can preempt my anger and I'll just go, fair play to you.
You're like Ned Flanders, fucking Ned Flanders.
That's it now. Okay, go, Gilly. I've turned into my dad. And I know why my dad is the man he is now. Do you know what I mean? I really do. I'm always like, dad's never roared. He's so relaxed. And I was like, I know why he is. He just doesn't want any tension around
the
him.
Aggro.
Like,
that's what my dad would say. I just don't want the aggro, man.
Yeah. Okay, now, that's it.
What about money? Do you guys like... Are you just 100% like a monetized, like a unified monetized unit? Or are you
still? We're not a budget family at all. Like we're not. We don't budget, or we don't. So we're just kind of. I'm into my savings now. Do you know?
I'm into my savings too, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've had to come off the PUP with the Tommy Show. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't have that, but yeah, no, I'm deep into the savings.
Yeah, yeah. So look, we'll see. You know,
what I mean is, like, you guys obviously do some like together plan, because the point I'm getting to is for the first time in life, because we're getting married, first time in life, it's like we think about certain things like, you know, financially, like together, but it's very odd. I find that a hard thing to get my head around.
I know,
because sometimes it's to my benefit, right? Because, you know, I've got assets and she's got, like, you know, she hasn't bought anything yet in her life, so she's got some cash, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And like suddenly we'll talk about doing a thing and she'll be talking about like her ability to do that. I'm not trying to get into like numbers, but she'll say like, oh, I could do that. And then in my mind I'm like, am I comfortable with it? Like, it's like a weird thing to think.
I know. Yeah.
You know,
we're still at times, the relationship. I remember I used to have this with my friend Mark as well, I used to live with in Dublin, that we just put money into each other's account. Like, and it's not, do you know what? We don't have a shared account, but that's not out of laziness. We just haven't done it yet. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
it's not that we don't, like we will.
But like, would you check with her to say like, I'm thinking about getting some unnecessary purchase that I want?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Just get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, so it's, but that wouldn't happen too much. In fact, it's quite the opposite, because I'm kind of like, this is the first t-shirt that I bought online ever. And, it's a picture. it's just a picture of a well. And then underneath it, it's like, well,
right. That's very funny.
So, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, like, there you go. Like, that's it there. So
yeah. So you didn't need like that.
Judy would say to me, why don't you get yourself some clothes or something like that? You know? So I wouldn't, do you know, when it comes to albums or CDs, I still have a teenage joy about getting, you know, manual music, something I can hold, and like records and stuff. But after that, you know, I've never, you know.
Like, she wouldn't give you a hard time about wasting money or anything.
No, not yet.
All right. Not yet, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I had that thought one time. I bought a wetsuit, which I really didn't need.
Yeah.
And Hannah didn't say anything, but in my mind, I was waiting for her to be like, what the fuck are you doing buying that?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know where that was coming from, but
yeah.
It was the first time in my life I thought about that. I had to think about how my purchases affect another human being.
No, I was only thinking about that this week. Do you know what I mean? In the grander scale of us now in the future and stuff, there is,
because now you have a child.
Exactly. And but you know, in the moment, like I think so far we're fine, but we don't know. I've always been financially. I've always had work 3 months ahead, and after that, nothing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So, and I've lived like that for
So you're used to living with like a financial insecurity. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I've always been quite naive about the future. Do you know what I mean? And just kind of existing. Do you know? And I get my work just for being at such a standard and getting gigs, and that's all. That's the only way I've done it. But now that I'm going back into the working world, I have to think differently about my income and the comfort of my income, as you said. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's not about me anymore. Do you know what I mean? I could get up and go to Whelan's, go to a Lock-in, get up and go to Charlie's at 3 o'clock the next day and go back to bed, and those days are gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those days are, and that's probably a good thing.
Well, I think it's good. You know, it's good motivation. I mean, coincidentally enough, that conversation with Tommy, like he ended up in kind of like a little bit of financial problems after the crash, and he thought that was good for him. Actually, it was inspiring for him, and so I have to think that as the importance of having a child and all that that does to a human being, I have to think that also in terms of your career, it probably gives you a kick in the ass.
It does. It definitely gives me a kick in the ass, and live with Julie as well, because I often feel there's comedians out there who are really talented, and then there's comedians who work really hard, and then there's comedians who've got both.
Yeah.
And Judy's that person, you know what I mean? Like, she's just on it. She's so quick and she's so funny, and she's so just to just be living with her is inspiring.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and it's just a great energy. So to have that is great. Like, you know.
All right. So it brings me to my final question. Do you ever fear that there will be a conflict moving forward? Since you have a child, you might have another in the future. You're going to be married, but you both have your own ambitions as comedians. Do you think that there will ever be a conflict of whose career is more important at that particular time?
Yes, and we've answered that. Mine is. I'm like, Julie, we need to talk about our careers. And she's like, what career are you talking about, Fred? I'm like, yeah, good point. Enjoy the rest of your life. I'll be fine here. Well done. Fine now. Enjoy yourself.
Fred was mimicking cradling his child there.
Exactly. Good. But, I think we just have to be viciously disciplined with our time.
Yeah.
And that communication open the whole time. You know, about this is what, and be responsible for it. Do you know, there's things that, like Julie does, which is more important work-wise than I have. You know what I mean? So if you go back to giving each other 3 hours, like, what's the point of me taking those 3 hours when, you know, she has to do something that's important? Just take the day, like, you know, and she'll do it back. So I think we have to be just viciously responsible with our time in communication. Like, that's all, like, I think.
And so say, this is just a hypothetical, right? So say Julie got some, like, very lucrative. She got like a very lucrative but quite demanding gig.
Yeah.
That was going to set you guys up, you know, in a higher bracket of comfort, which is, you know, obviously a godsend when you have children. Would you be comfortable being the stay-at-home dad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I often felt, gig-wise, I never thought I'd marry a comedian. That's nothing against Julie. Like, years ago, I often felt, Andrew Maxwell said to me years ago, he said, being a comedian and a dad is perfect because, you know, you're there to get the child up. You can even get him to school, he or she. And then when the child comes home from school, you can do their homework. And, you know, like half 9 gigs, half 8 gigs, you can still have enough time to leave the house.
Yes.
So it's quite doable and accessible. So what the fact that the two of us are doing comedy, that poor baby's going to be neglected. Okay, you know what to do, kid. It's 9:30. Good luck. Leave him on his own. And you don't want to be dragging him around on the baby seat around Ireland either. You know, the poor kid will exhaust him. So yeah, it is. It's something to think about. You know, like we're both, you know, at times we look at England as well and gigging in England. So it's,
That type of stuff. Yeah, it's a lot. It's tough. I mean, you know, having a kid is tough in a career.
It is. And it's because comedy, in a way, it's so, I find stand up is so kind of self indulgent in a beautiful way. Like the amount of attention that you get on stage, the amount of creativity that you get, because it's your thing, which is a bad thing, but also a good thing that if something doesn't work, at least it's your ship that's fallen. You're not bringing anyone with you.
All
that kind of stuff. You know, it's very, and then the opposite side of that is a democracy in other people's opinions and caring for the future. And that's what being a dad is. So you've got this conflict here at the moment. And the only way to survive in it, and I think we're doing okay, but like, it's just communication.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And respect, you know, and we do, we love each other and we respect each other to bits.
I think you guys need to start like a fucking healthy relationship podcast or something.
Exactly, yeah.
No, that's great, Fred. Thanks so much. Fred's I'm sorry, I was pushing you hard, but I was just curious, you know, because it's like
you guys
are going through a lot in a very unique situation. So it's very interesting.
It's insane. Well, my whole life has changed, and everyone's life has changed. So I'm not alien to this. It's quite a universal feeling right now. That do you know what song I was listening to? And this sounds as I always thought it was a bit of a shit song, but I actually love it now. Do you know Duran Duran's song "Ordinary World"?
Yes.
And it's, you know, such a 90s lame crap song. But there's lyrics on it.
How does it go again?
It goes like this. This is the lyric that got me. It went like this because, you know, I kind of harped for the past and God wasn't it great to be free and all this. And then the lyric that got me was, it went like this. It goes, I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I will survive. And I'm like, that's it. That's actually a great line. That's it. Do you know?
That's great. You see, Fred, that's the thing, man. You grow up and you realize that a lot of shit that you dismissed is fucking full of wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. That, especially 90s songs. You know, I used to love
that. Was an 80s song, by the way. That was an 80s one. Yeah.
Are you sure? How much? How much you want to bet? I'll put a... Send me your IBAN account and I'll put a tenner in if you're wrong. 90s song. It's a 90s song. Okay. It's the latter period.
Is it really? All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be happy to be wrong. We've learned a lot together on this podcast. So I'll be happy to be wrong. Let's see.
Don't put money on it.
I don't want to put money. Oh, you were very right.
I knew it. I knew it.
You were very right. 93.
Yeah. It was a crazy time for music. It was a bit shit, but brilliant.
I was in boarding school in Ireland. I got a lot of problems with that time period, you know?
Yeah. Wait, I tell you. I was only talking to my friend about a gig we did, which was unbelievable. If you talk about 90s music and 90s grunge, and I was on stage in the International Bar, and you were emceeing it. I walked on stage, and who's sitting in the back of the room? Only the Pixies.
That's right. That night. Lovering, David. Oh, of course. That's a momentous night.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm playing these plastic melodicas. I'm so embarrassed. Like, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, because Black Francis and Joey Santiago are sitting in the back. Oh, and David Lovering. Word.
Yeah.
Because what happened was that, you know, my friend used to be in the Thrills.
I can't believe it.
He was like good buddies with them.
Yeah.
And Daniel, and he said, you're not going to believe this, but David Lovering does like comedy magic, and they're just like, they're doing a show tomorrow night, and they have the night off, and he just wants to do a gig. So I was delighted. But then the amazing thing about that night was, so first of all, you know, Black Francis is fucking... like the coolest guy. He's like totally nice guy. Loves comedy, right? And Ardle was on that night. Ardle O'Hanlon from Father Ted. And it turns out that Francis is a huge Father Ted fan.
Yeah.
And his mind is blown. So your mind is blown because they're in the crowd. But his mind was blown because he's a huge Ardle fan. But he couldn't fucking believe it. Yeah, he's watching Ardle in a little black room, you know, 60, 70 people. And we all had a drink. That was a great
night. And you know what? I actually think that night as well, by coincidence, Ian Coppinger turned up with a Pixies t-shirt on him. I was like, this is just nuts. The Matrix.
Yeah. And I went to quite a few Pixie shows as a result of that. They had a lot of, the cool thing was that they had a lot of respect for comedians.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they had a lot of respect for us just getting up there and doing our thing. So that was a fun night. Yeah.
That was one of the most amazing nights in comedy for me, just as an experience. Do you know, like, for something that wasn't planned. I remember, you know, you set up the International Bar and you kind of get the tables ready, and he said, do you know who's coming tonight? The Pixies. I was like, oh, yeah. But then I was like, fuck, yeah, they're playing in the Olympia. Of course they're coming. You have to be right, because I knew they were playing in the Olympia. Like, I was like, wow.
I saw them in Melbourne too, man. I went backstage in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, wow.
That's how great that connection was from that night. Brought some friends to meet them. I haven't. That connection has kind of faded, like just on Twitter. Yeah. At the time, it was good crack. Now I have to say,
I love those things. Chris Martin from Coldplay turned up in the International Bar one night.
Really?
Yeah. And the improv was on. Joe Rooney was on. He met Joe Rooney and Ian again, and he gave tickets for Joe Rooney and his son to see them in Wembley in London.
Oh, how cool is that?
Isn't
that
amazing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have come through over the years. Ricky Gervais was in there one night.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's the famous story of
Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard showing up, and Leo, my Chinese buddy, was on the door, and he calls Aiden because he's like, all the comedians are freaking out because Eddie Lizard is here.
Wow.
But anyway, I'll let you go.
Great chatting to you, Des.
Thanks, man. Thanks for getting you. You came on the short notice, man. It was great.
So don't say that. Don't put that bit in.
Oh, I don't mind. It was my fault. You know, I'm just unorganized. You know, I hate organizing guests. I love the chats. I hate organizing guests. But so listen, what are you plugging social media wise?
At the moment, I'm just, look. I have a tour in the new year, January, February, and tickets. But we're still working on dates.
But what about what's your Instagram? Fredster Cook?
Fredster Cook, yeah, that's me.
At Fredster Cook.
And FredCookComedian.com.
What is it?
FredCookComedian.com.
Fred Cook with an E. COOKE, yeah. FredCookComedian.com. His dates will be out in the new year when life gets back to normal. Thank you so much. Everybody will be wishing you the best. We'll see if there's going to be a second one on the way. We won't delve any further into your life. And it was great to catch up, man.
Yeah, it's great chatting to you.
All right. Talk to you soon, man. Thanks.
And I'll talk soon.
See you later. Thanks, bro. Bye. Thanks. So thanks to Fred. Fun app. You know, I came on at short notice. Listen, we have an amazing episode next week. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., I'm interviewing someone who took part in the clinical trial for using the active ingredient for magic mushrooms to help with his alcohol addiction. And we're going to delve into the whole world of psychedelics for mental health treatment. So that's coming up next week. Always a hot topic. So I just organized that today. So I'm very excited about that. That came from a call out that I put onto Instagram, of which was probably the most active call out I've ever put out. Well, sorry, the almost biggest response I ever had to like an active call out about a guest for the pod or answer to a question or, you know, just like anything, you know, when you put out something like, does anyone have any advice on this? This was huge. It was overwhelming actually. So luckily, somebody had reached out about this, but then they kind of followed up with me. And that's how this came about. So, well, that'll be next week. So look forward to that. And I'm actually going away next week. But despite what I just said on the podcast about being unorganized, I did get organized enough to have this episode will be recorded and edited before I leave. Myself and Hannah are vaccinated and we're going to Puerto Rico in the Caribbean for a little Monday to Friday break. So you won't hear too much from me. Going to take a little social media break too and just relax. Speaking of mental health, you know, just take a break from it all for a bit, which I think is good to do. So anyway, guys, thank you for always leaving reviews and 5 stars. Keep doing it if you haven't done it. Tell everybody to subscribe to the podcast, everybody you know. Don't forget about the Patreon. Patreon.com/DazBishop. I am actually going to do an episode of the Patreon from Puerto Rico. It's the only bit of work that I'm going to do on the Tuesday, I think. Live from San Juan. So if that's your cup of tea, subscribe. It's only $5 a month. We do, most of the time, we do 3 YouTube lives a week. And we have a nice committed group of people that drive the conversation along in the comments. We had a great chat this morning, which it's normally Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I couldn't do yesterday, so I did today, which is Thursday. I should have this up tonight. Might have it up first thing tomorrow morning. So anyway, what do you guys need to worry about? What time it is as I watch Phil Mickelson walk up the fairway to PGA. Patrick Harrington rolling back the years at -1 as we speak. Anyway, guys, I'm waffling. Do give Fred some feedback. Let him know you had a good time, that you had a good time. And I'll see you guys next week, or I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a wonderful weekend.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.